This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, good morning, everybody. It's still that cold, nasty winter outside. It is. Come on, Sia, don't pretend.
No, I'm not complaining that much anymore.
Not?
For the past 2 days, I was actually relishing in the fact that I didn't have to wear like 3 layers anymore. It's nice.
Yeah, I think we've got a surprise coming, though. The Cape is being lashed by storms again.
Yeah, the Cape is apparently going through all kinds of shit at the moment.
Well, what's new?
Well, I mean, shacks are burning down and people are freezing cold and the sea is choppy as hell and... I don't know. I mean, like, people go, oh, Cape Town, so wonderful. It doesn't sound wonderful to me.
Yeah, I could debate that a lot.
You know what's wonderful? Durban, where it's warm all year round.
And everyone leaves you alone when you're in Durban.
Yeah. Yes. No, Durban's way better. I mean, everybody who's in Cape Town, they think they've discovered gold, right? They all drink the Kool-Aid and they think it's the most wonderful place in the world. You ask Cape Townians, what do you do for a living? And they say, I'm in Cape Town. And then they give you some crap excuse. We've gone over this a million times. But the fact is, no one in Cape Town really does anything. There are a few hardworking people. You can probably count them on 2 hands.
It's not very productive.
No.
I did dream that last night, or it must have been early this morning, that I was at some resort in the Cape.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was just admiring the mountains. But of course, they were extra in my dream. And then these clouds that looked like animals started floating towards me. I was with someone, I don't know who.
We had such vivid dreams.
We were pointing them out and going, oh, that one looks like an owl. That one looks like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Then they really did start changing shape. And it was like being in a 3D movie.
You didn't take acid before you went to sleep.
This is what I'm wondering.
No.
Maybe I spiked my own drink. I don't know.
You roofied yourself.
Yeah. And there were blimps and all sorts of things flying around our heads.
Is this Cape Town or Cappadocia?
Yeah, probably the latter.
I don't even remember my dreams these days.
Oh, no, I can make movies out of mine.
And they're so descriptive and detailed.
That's just a summary. No, what irritates
me is like Cape Townians will tell you, oh, when are you moving to Cape Town? Like it's a foregone conclusion that everyone wants to live there. You guys have more crime, more murder, more gangsterism than Joburg ever could have. There are parts of Cape Town that are so dangerous that they have to send the army into. That's never happened here in my lifetime.
I scrolled past this article on my timeline yesterday, so I'm not going to vouch for its credibility, but it said Cape Town is now ranked 11th in the world when it comes to the most crime-riddled cities.
I mean, that's against real shitholes. Really dangerous, terrible places.
But then you go hiking a bit, or then you go to your coffee shop and around the corner and you walk there barefoot and you forget that.
Isn't this the point? I mean, like, if you haven't been watching the news in America, there's this whole furore that's broken out about Baltimore, right? Baltimore, Maryland is one of the worst places in America to live. It is a crime-infested city. It has got rats crawling around. There are drug dens in some neighborhoods on every corner. It's just a really terrible place. And, you know, Donald Trump has used this as a club to bludgeon a guy who's a representative of Democrats in Congress, who he doesn't like and who doesn't like him. You know, for Trump, everything's personal, so this is why he's using it. But the fact is, like, Baltimore is this terrible place. And, of course, if Trump says something, then it must be racist, according to the other side. So then they all go, no, Detroit is fantastic and Baltimore's fantastic. These are wonderful places to live, which is nonsense. Like, why lie? Like, you can say, look, Donald Trump's an idiot. A lot of people do, but you don't have to say Donald Trump is wrong when he's patently right. Like, living in a place like Baltimore is shit. There are parts of Cape Town that are they're unlivable.
Mm.
Like, no one wants to be there. If you raise children there, those kids are fucked.
Oi.
They are. They don't go to school. Okay. They grow up with, you know, like terrible things happen to them. In fact, it is a human rights violation if you're a parent and you decide to have a kid in a neighborhood like that. How about that? We're always going at the government for when they don't come and look after us because we always need another daddy and mommy because we're shit at our jobs. Well, how about this, parents? If you have a kid in a shit neighborhood or you have a kid and you can't afford to send them to school, it's not the government's fault. It's nobody else's fault but yours. You're a bad parent. How about that? I'm tired of hearing. Everybody's got an excuse. Like, I watched the news last night. Now, let me tell you something. I've never said this before, but it almost feels like we need a dose of Brent Lindekue because...
Is this South African news or global news?
No, this is local news. Uh-huh. All the news was bad. Mm. Everything. I turned on the TV and I wished I hadn't last night. Because, I mean, first of all, you know that that's what they sell, right? They don't sell good news. You never turn on the news and, wow, that was a great dose of good news. Now I can go and take on my night.
Yeah, now that the baboon's been captured, we've got nothing really.
Yeah, that was the most exciting thing. So they started with unemployment, which is going up. You know, because frankly, if you still live in this fantasy world where you believe that Cyril's going to come on a white shining horse and save you, you're a fucking child. Like, yeah. Grow up.
Again, it's having children in a world where you, in a country where you know they might not be employed.
Yeah, well, this
is it,
right?
There's a 70% chance that they'll get something.
So guess what? You just came to listen to us this morning. We're going to try and make you feel better by giving you all the bad news again.
No, it's reality, though.
It's not our fault.
No, it's not our fault.
And everyone's having this conversation.
The first story is that unemployment is going up, not down.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant Cyril and the ANC, who everybody said, well... You know, we just need to get rid of Zuma. Yeah, where are you now, Peter Bruce? Peter Bruce writes column after column about how Cyril's going to save us. It's like Jesus.
Mm.
And then what happens? Unemployment goes up.
Weren't things just too far gone, though, already?
Well, it's a bunch of things. What's really made this year a complete disaster for our economy? Because there could have been a turnaround. What's made it a complete disaster, and I'm going to hang myself out here, and if you don't like this, then you can tell everybody and they can start listening to us and criticizing me if they don't already agree.
Okay.
This land thing, this obsession with land, and if you've looked at the land policy that's just come out, the kind of suggested direction that we should take land, and it's a land report that's just been released. This thing is all about how private property doesn't really exist. The state must take control of everything. It's basically a heavily loaded document with very one-sided opinions on how things should be run. It's basically put together by ideologues instead of by economic policymakers. Now, in a country that you don't have private property ownership, you cannot have an economy. I'm sorry. There is no economy. And what we've done is we've taken a country where we've got the potential for foreign investment, the potential for local business growth, the potential for small business growth, and we've squashed all of that dead under the feet of an ANC who couldn't add 3 and 3. We thought it was only Zuma who couldn't add. Well, it wasn't. It's the whole ANC. They're fucking useless.
We all know it's 7.
Oh. The point being that, like, this economy is in free fall because the ANC is in charge of it. Now, you can blame anyone you like. You can blame big business because we know that they've been cowardly and spineless and haven't stood up to the ANC effectively enough.
Mm.
You can blame the unions because they've certainly had their role in making things worse and not better. But if you want to fix things, you've got to rely on small business. You've got to rely on policy certainty. You've got to rely on institutions that can't be touched by politics, which we are having, we're seeing less and less of those. And you've got to let people do what they can with each other. In other words, if I want to trade with Google, I must be allowed to trade with Google. It doesn't need a license from government. I don't need to apply for this paper and register that and make sure SARS has ticked 17 boxes over here. How am I meant to do business with Google if all I want to do is buy a TV from him and he wants to sell me a TV and it suddenly means everybody else in the country is involved in that transaction?
Yeah, because talking about the news, the one thing that struck me in the news yesterday, apart from unemployment, was that in just the past 6 months, more than 70 billion rand has left the country. And this is from foreign investors taking their money elsewhere.
And thousands of people. And you know, I love when people go, oh, well, if people want to leave, let them leave.
Not when we need the investment.
And not just the investment, but those are probably people who employ people, which is why the unemployment rate's gone up. Idiots. So if you see the unemployment rate going up and you see a bunch of people leaving, those people are probably employers. Mm.
The ripple effect of something like this is shocking.
So we're going to have all this land, right, that we're going to be able to do nothing with, like Zimbabwe. We're all going to be sitting around, wow, we got the land. Great. Everyone will have some land. Whoever's left, they'll be, you know, me, Gugu, Sia, Leanne, and 15 other people. We'll have some land each. No idea what to do with it because we won't be able to afford any equipment to farm that land. Mm. The government won't be able to help us because they won't have brought in any taxes because we won't have any money, so they can't tax us. So there's going to be no money from government. We're going to be sitting looking at each other and we'll go, well, patting each other on the back. At least we got the land and at least all the people who were opposed to us getting the land have left.
And then what?
We've won.
Yeah, now what?
We can congratulate ourselves. It's fantastic. No one will get a job.
What's Sia going to do with the land? You give Sia a piece of land, he'll be fuck all with it. Can't even farm.
Well, Gugu, I've always said that...
He's going to create Never Never Land or whatever it's called.
Exactly. How's that going to help anyone?
I've always stood by the fact that if people really want to rally up about land, just point me towards the coast. That's it. I'll take selfies in the sun, by the beach.
Selfies in the sun.
And yeah, that's the title of my memoir. And call it a day. You guys can farm and make wheat and grain, whatever it is. But me, no. Don't count on me for that.
Anyway, look, I mean, that's my rant for the morning. But there was bad news about Eskom. There was bad news about... what was the other thing?
I saw Trevor Manuel and Moyo yesterday. There was a ruling around them.
There was something else too. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, like, it's all just... It's kind of depressing news, but actually... You know, life goes on. Well, as I've said so many times, if you watch the news, you're going to get yourself wound up like I'm wound up this morning. If we were talking about stuff that we were speaking about yesterday, we spoke about a lot of interesting stuff, and, you know, keeping your house tidy and comfort animals and ticks that can chase you through the forest. Well, those are better stories than what you'll hear in the news.
Yeah, you've got to keep your chin up.
Right.
Ooh.
I didn't start my Marie Kondo.
Oh, haven't you yet?
I just don't want to because I know it's going to take up my whole year.
Yeah, it's going to change your life.
All right.
It will take a year, but in a good way, at least.
I keep saying, make Gugu a B mic. I think they mean that they want more Gugu. This is a comment that's come through on the comment line this morning from Sandile, who says, morning, news is terrible, population and unemployment is up. We need Thanos. We really do. From Marvel.
Oh.
Yeah, Thanos just...
What does he do?
Clicks his fingers with that glove on, and then he wipes out a half of everything.
Oh.
Okay.
As in wipes up...
Half of all the living people. All... Imagine if our population...
Is it always a half?
Yeah. If our population went from 57-odd million to 23 million.
We're actually up to 58 million.
Is it 58 now? Okay, so 24.
You've been doing the tally.
Yeah. It's just gone up right now.
What, 24? So we're 28 then. Half of... What is half of... Here we go. Here's our maths problem in the morning. Is it 29?
Carry the 4.
Come on, somebody figure this out
minus
for us.
Minus the 2.
Everybody get cracking. We need to crack this code, all right? Are you ready?
Yes.
Come on, let's go.
I did.
Get out your calculator.
What did I say? 29. You said,
59. Yeah.
73, yes. And carry the 4.
Now you're just throwing out random numbers.
What did we say?
Oh, God. This
58
is
divided by 2.
Yes.
Half of 50
29.
Is 25. Half of 4.
Why don't you believe me?
No, half of 8 is 4. 4 plus 20.
Yeah, that
29.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
29.
Because
yeah.
9 and 9 is 18.
Yeah. And if you double 30, you get 60, which is one less than...
Oh, maths is so hard.
Honestly, maths just gives me a shiver down my spine.
There was a time when I got it, you know, like with algebra and calculus and...
Well, don't let us run anything.
Tim Sam Cos...
Where's useless is the ANC when it comes to working out how to figure things.
Yeah, right. We aren't here to judge them. We'll just point out their flaws.
Okay, more comments. Listen to this. Someone's very popular this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Kucho says, more of Gugu. How's that? Good morning. When the NC-NEC meets and the camera focuses on the top six, why does Cyril Cupcake, together with Didi and Ace, have to combust out in laughter as if they're being tickled by an imaginary fairy? They're clearly putting up a front. Leo. I think they're morons. I really think that they're just very low IQ people, and they found themselves in a situation where they're suddenly in charge of this low IQ organization, and they think it's hilarious because they're like, we don't know what the fuck to do.
Mm.
So they just look at each other and laugh. Like, how did this happen? Vasectomies should be free, says somebody. Oh boy, here we go.
Wow. How did we get there?
This is from Thanos. Thanos has just written to us to say,
vasectomies must be free.
Yeah.
Men should be born without the ability to
father children.
Father children. And then if you do want to, you have to go and have a reverse vasectomy.
Wow.
But I mean, public service announcements to all of the straights out there. You know that 1 + 1 will equal baby. So avoid the one.
It's very heterophobic. That's very heterophobic.
This has been a public service announcement from all the homos out there. Like, check yourselves out. What are you doing?
That's the problem is these people want to have children.
Ah, well.
Don't you need like
the
official?
It should be made harder.
Don't you need the official?
Oh, girl, it must be.
That's what she said.
Don't you need the stamp of approval from the whole gay board, including like Elton John, to be able to say something like that?
I'm the deputy minister of the gays in the Gauteng region.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that. Sorry.
Yes, thank you.
I take it back. Please, I don't want to upset the gay lobby.
He's deputy gay minister.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a very serious position. You know?
All right.
So can I mention this horrible moment that I had yesterday?
Yes, please.
Which was a quarter to meltdown life, at least.
This is hilarious. Just settle in comfortably. Sia did something really embarrassing and stupid.
So a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about that. A lady in the United States who went out hiking in some reserve, and she was stuck there for days on end.
Yeah, she went out. She was in the wild, and she didn't have a GPS or a phone on her.
Mm-mm.
And she thought, oh, I'll find my way back. This isn't going to be too hard. And she disappeared for like 15 days.
There had to be a search party, tons of money poured into all of this.
Yes.
And I was the first on the train here on the show to go, what an idiot.
What a moron. Yeah, I remember you.
How dare she?
Right.
Who does something like that? Well, clearly I do as well, because that's what happened to me yesterday. Do you remember that James Franco movie? I think it was called 127 Days or something.
Where he had to cut off his own arm.
Yes.
He was caught in that crevice.
I thought I was living that, and I thought that was what was going to happen to me yesterday. So I went to the Johannesburg Botanical Gardens, and it's quite a flat but expansive piece of land.
Yes.
And I like to walk every now and then. I'm not going to call myself a serious runner or a serious hiker.
I've seen you post some very bizarre video of you like walking in nature, and I always wonder what the hell's going on.
It's just nice and cool. You know?
I always assume you're having a meltdown.
Oh boy, there goes
Sia. Yes, I am. I go deep into the forest so that no one can hear my cries. So I always like to do that just to clear my mind. And I have gone to the Johannesburg Botanical Gardens many times over, but I decided to use a different entrance yesterday. And since I've been there many times over, I thought, I don't need my phone, you know, I don't need my wallet. Going to leave all of that in the car.
By the way, if you ever feel like robbing a car, just find Sia's car at the Botanical Gardens. You'll get a bonus bumper edition, a welcome pack of a cell phone and a wallet.
And the car.
And a car.
So started walking around. This was probably like a good half hour into the walk, and was like around 5 o'clock. And here in Joburg, it's starting to get a little dark around then. And I look up while I'm in the thick of a lot of trees.
Yeah.
And I realize, oh shucks, I have no cooking clue where I am. And these like botanical gardens have like no paths in some of the section of the gardens.
There's no signs or anything.
Yeah,
like
no
that.
Boards that tell you where you are. Okay, definitely no light.
Right. But there are always two things that you can do to find your way out of anything.
Gareth, if you're going to reference some Bear Grylls,
no, it's really
tactic, I don't know.
Come on, I mean, Gugu knows this too. You either find the high ground, you go to some, go uphill so you can get a view of where you are, and then you'll be able to find you. It's Joburg, for heaven's sake. You're not in the middle of KZN. Or you go down to where there's water.
And follow the river.
And you follow a river until you find some human habitation.
Well, there is that
at the sea.
There is that tiny creek in there. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to end up having to drink this. And, you know, the Johannesburg Botanical Gardens are also like centered around Parkhurst. And as you move a little central into the city, you move towards Melville as well. And there's this arbitrary graveyard that's near the gardens as well. And I found myself there thinking, oh my gosh.
This is where I'm going to die.
This is the end of my life. This is it.
Are you?
And by the way, this is only 20 minutes, by the way.
Is that not just a park? I keep thinking the botanical gardens are out near the Walter Sisulu Botanical Gardens. Are those the ones you're talking about?
Walter Sisulu Botanical Gardens are in the west.
Yeah.
Johannesburg Botanical Gardens are near Emerentia Dam.
Oh,
so right in the thick of Emerentia, Parkhurst, and Melville.
How could you get lost in that? That's about...
It is expansive, Gareth. It's really, really big.
I thought entrance was free. Expansive.
Oh God, we're really having a slow start to our Wednesday. By the way, if you were looking for
Gord, yeah, did that remind you?
Gord Laws.
The puns also did.
Gord Laws is also stuck in like Joburg's botanical garden somewhere and he couldn't get out.
I've got lost in the trees and I can't get out.
Look, it's taught me not to judge, so I'm going to reserve some judgment from here on out. And then to high ground.
I was about three, I think I got lost in a shopping mall or something. That's the most lost I've ever been. About three or four. You panic. Can't find your mommy. You run around. And then some adult finds you and then they auction you off to a new family. And I've lived happily ever after since.
See, my mom used to leave me in places, so I got used to being lost.
Really? She just left
you? What do you mean?
Was she
trying to get rid of you?
I obviously just wasn't that impressionable.
You didn't get the hint?
We went grocery shopping her and my aunt, and they got into the car, emptied the trolley, started the car, and realized I wasn't in the car.
No.
And there I was, left with the frozen peas in my pram.
But you are like
talking to strangers.
Aren't you the first child?
Yes, I was the only one out of all of the family.
You often hear this about, you know, the third or the fourth kid, maybe who's been forgotten in that way.
It's usually parents who their kids too expensive or they don't want to deal with
it. It's usually gingerhead Catholics, let's be honest.
Do you think every time your mother was called to rescue you, she was like, oh, damn it, the plan didn't work this time.
Foiled again.
Yeah.
Oh, what can we do next time? Man, shame.
I don't know. I think it's scary for kids to get lost. But if you get lost in a forest, it must also... I don't think you were really worried. I think you were embarrassed, but I don't think you were worried that you'd never get out. You're in Joburg, for heaven's sake. You walk in one direction. However far you have to go, eventually you'll find something.
It's a building.
There was a tiny little part of me, because in some of these reserves, you have to sign in just so that they keep tabs of people, you know, so that they know when they close up.
Did you have to sign in this one?
I did. Okay. And I thought, this is just going to be embarrassing. The last thing that I wanted was to walk back out to the entrance and there's a whole security team of like eight men who can't go home because they were waiting for this idiot. And I'm like, hey, how's that?
All right. Okay.
Just got lost. Don't mind me.
You thought about other people and how you were going to mess up their day.
But I also thought if I die, at least this is a fabulous way to go.
I don't know. I mean, like, going into nature and... I think it's good. I'm not going to mock you anymore.
No, it really is.
I'm not going to mock you. I think it's necessary. This is how you connect to the world. You know, they say that if you have green in your life, and one of the reasons I don't like the Joburg winter is because everything goes brown and ugly. But if you have green in your life, you generally tend to be happier. They've done all the research around this, and they said whether it's a pot plant in your house or, you know, something in a window box outside your window or a beautiful tree or some flowers or whatever it might be, if you have plants around you, you tend to feel better. And if you see birds, it makes you feel better too. And, you know, you just feel part of something.
Look, and it doesn't even take a rocket scientist to figure out, but you need to have some sort of healthy outlet to wind down. You know, some people will...
So do you do this as like a stress release?
Yeah, every couple of days.
Okay. Mm,
very good.
Yeah, no, that's good.
You know, my sister regularly goes for therapy, and even her therapist suggested this, that, you know, we all get so preoccupied with our lives, and we go to work and we're stuck in traffic, then we go home. It's like, what can you or do you actually do to relax properly? And my therapist asked my sister this, and she realized, I actually don't have hobbies. And I think for a lot of people, they'd say, really, they don't have hobbies. If you think about it.
I've got the other problem. I've got the problem on the other end of the scale. I've got too many hobbies. And then I get frustrated.
At least that's a good thing.
Well, no. I mean, I was up in bed last night until 11:30. I was busy designing a building.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, that's ridiculous. And I mean, who knows if I'm ever going to build this building, but I was busy with it yesterday. So I was busy designing this and
staircases. Proper aerial view, mapping things out.
I mean, it's a severe thing. This is a 3D architectural program. So you... So I'm busy designing buildings. This is what I'm doing for fun.
And like, how many hours of your day does that take?
No, this one, I just, I started this project. It was something I wanted to do. So this is, I haven't done this for a couple of days. So, you know, some months go by and then I won't touch it. And then suddenly I'll get back into it again. It's like having, you know, doing chemical experiments. Another thing I stupidly do and waste my time and money. Or music. Or... history, or you're reading, or I've got a million of these hobbies, and it gets really frustrating for me because I want more time to spend on these hobbies. I love them almost more than I love my actual gainful business, my employment, and that's difficult because obviously the one is an enterprise, the one is like something that can earn you money and make you an important member of society and useful to humanity, and the other one's just purely for your own enjoyment. And I love both equally. Like I could spend the day working on stuff that we're doing here, or I could spend the day designing buildings and I'd be just as happy.
But I just think it's sad for some people who will...
Your sister has no habits, hobbies?
She had to think about it consciously and she thought, well, no. Watching series doesn't really count as hobbies. Or,
no, it does. No, that's a bad. It's not good enough.
Sleeping over weekends doesn't count as a hobby.
Yeah. I've got lots of hobbies that I want to do, but I never get around to doing them.
Do you want to crochet?
No.
What would you like to take up?
Well, I don't know if you'd call yoga a hobby, but I keep saying I'm going to do it and I don't end up doing it.
Hey, that's healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, also, I'd like to do like a painting course.
Okay.
Like watercolors. And
yeah, that would be good.
That type of thing. Creating stationery and things like that, using stamp sets and watercolors and things. But I never get around to doing it.
Hey, by
Life
the way.
Just takes over.
I'm talking about hobbies because this is something that no one should take seriously. But have you been invited to Miss South Africa?
Yeah. Yes,
I saw this invite yesterday. Did you forward it to me? I think you did. Invitation. But they're having it, they've really scaled it down because people don't really care about beauty pageants anymore.
Yeah, it's not as big as it used to be.
No, Miss South Africa is kind of, you know, here's the deal.
Before it was like you were basically the same as the president if you were Miss South Africa.
Yeah, you were a big deal, as they say. Yeah, you used to be really important.
Yeah.
I think around 2001, 2002, it started dwindling a bit.
Yeah, so they've got the crowning of Miss South Africa. It's happening next weekend?
I think it's the 9th of August. Yeah.
And it's in Pretoria. Now, I mean, it used to be a big thing. They'd have it in Sun City.
Yes.
I don't know if Sun City's any good anymore, and now they've decided to move it to Pretoria.
Well, also, that's the venue sponsor.
Okay. And it's black tie formal. You know, go to a big, what is it, like an auditorium in Pretoria in a black tie? No, thank you. So I'm going to be RSVPing to that is a big fat no.
I'm so surprised. I thought you'd be first in line there.
You thought I'd go?
Of course
hey,
not.
Hey, Gugu, can I send you in my place? You want to go to Miss South Africa?
I think Sia can go in both of our places. Because I'm normally invited as well. Sia, do you want to take our places?
Gugu. Are you normally invited, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, these are your circles.
You. Okay, right. I don't know what you're talking about, Sia.
Is this where you go to find dates?
Huh? Silence.
Yeah, he's just going quiet. That's a little awkward. Okay.
Well, Miss South Africa was trying to turn things around. You know,
good luck to them.
We discussed this a couple of months ago with the way they're saying they want to push for individuals to be who they are and, and spreading that message.
It's a beauty competition. But if it starts becoming a personality competition, you may as well be standing for a seat in Parliament or something.
But then they got into fire a couple of weeks ago when they announced their top 16 and they said, this is our most diverse top 16 ever.
God.
We have one queer contestant and we have one plus size contestant.
A plus size?
When the
Definitely not going now.
When the photos came out, we're like, who in these women is plus size, because there was no one big there. So now all the big people were upset. Like, how dare
they
you?
They wanted a fat Miss South Africa. Fuck, that'll be the death of it. I'll tell you something. The minute we put someone fat in Miss South Africa's crown, that's the end. We kiss it goodbye. It's done.
I think it would make people be interested in the pageant.
No, they wouldn't. It'd be so embarrassing. Our Miss South Africa eats all the food at all the international things. She's fat and she can't find shoes to fit her because her ankles are spilling over her shoes.
The buffets.
Yeah, just none of the dresses. None of the sponsors want to sponsor anymore because she can't fit in their clothes.
Mm.
They're like, oh, Jesus, we have to pull this curtain off the wall and dress her in that.
Oh, my God.
Fats and cough.
Oh, my God.
See, I don't have a problem with the pageant, but just call it what it is.
Yeah.
You look gorgeous.
It's a beauty pageant.
You are just preparing for a year to be an ambassador unofficially for the country by wearing amazing gowns and attending events and helping people out. Let's call it what it is. Mm. And, you know, pretty privilege is amazing. And if I was 6 feet tall and skinny.
I'm jealous of these people. I would never win a Mr. South Africa.
Like that.
Yeah. I mean, you think Miss South Africa is stupid. Mr. South Africa is even dumber.
Ah, well, yeah. Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing of all.
It's so bad.
Anyway. All right, look, let's just leave it alone. I mean, good luck to everyone. I hope you have fun. I'm definitely not going to waste my time coming to see this crap. Let's talk about some of the news. Cannabis. You want to talk about cannabis?
That's what I would do with my land, is grow that, I think.
You would?
Yeah.
Eastern Cape Premier Oscar Mabuyane will convene a cannabis stakeholder engagement, which will contribute to a policy for cannabis production in the... I'm so pleased. Finally, a move to pull the Eastern Cape out of poverty. I don't know whether it will, but it's a good start.
Hmm.
The engagement will see provincial government, traditional leadership, farmers, researchers, and the institutions of higher learning, and they'll all explore the various avenues for development. Premier spokesperson said, amongst others, that this included finding a unified consensus between stakeholders to achieve investment for commercial sustainability. Just growing. Let me explain this in normal English, because when you hear words like consensus, stakeholders, and commercial sustainability, you know politicians are talking to you. Let me explain this to you properly. Mm-hmm. Grow weed. Sell it, make money. Eastern Cape isn't such a shithole anymore. Mm. Hooray! Everybody wins.
Yeah.
It's great. Because it really is. I mean, there's no employment at all in the Eastern Cape. It's the poorest province in the country. You know that, right?
I didn't, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's the poorest, despite having PE and East London, which are such, they are such disappointments, those towns. And I'm not being mean here, but there is no work to be found in either of them. People are getting poorer. Infrastructure is falling apart. That province has been mismanaged into the ground. And despite it being very naturally beautiful and having lots of space, great climate, fertile land, it's just been run like a shithole. And unfortunately, the Eastern Cape needs a massive lift here. And if we can grow weed for the whole of South Africa and maybe even export it.
More power.
Oh, could help. Because it's a cash crop, you see. You don't need acres and acres of land to grow enough weed to be able to sell it. You just need a little bit of space. And if there are, you know, small farmers who really are subsistence farmers, and they grow a couple of vegetables for the family to eat, and they grow a couple of weed plants to sell. Awesome. This is really something that can help a lot of people to just get out of abject poverty.
Mm.
And plus the Eastern Cape, and then they can also smoke it, so they won't have to think about living in a place like PE, which is just horrible.
Puff and forget.
Right. The two-day engagement is due to kick off in East London, and they say it's the first of many engagements that the province will convene. So politicians finally figuring out that there's something's got to be done. In Johannesburg, at least 15 shacks were destroyed on Tuesday in a structural fire at the Zandspruit informal settlement next to Beyers Nordea Drive in Randburg. Beyers Nordea, I'm just trying to think. Oh, yes, okay. Yeah, that's Randburg. It's like a mini PE, really, if you think about it. Netcare 911 spokesperson Sean Herbst said that the reports from the scene indicated a fire had started in a single shack, which quickly spread to surrounding structures. Didn't we discuss this yesterday, or is it Groundhog Day with shack fires?
Yeah, we did speak about it.
I feel very sorry for the people who have to put up with this. But, man, if you build a shack right next to a shack and the fire starts in the one, it's going to spread to the next one and the next one and the next mm-hmm. one and the next one. So it's going to keep happening. I hate to be the one to say it, but you could rebuild these. You could have government's emergency services beef up their fire engines, but it's still going to keep happening.
Sorry, I'm still stuck on your earlier comment.
About Randburg.
Gareth, could you please be our new, you know, head of SA tourism? I think you'd really boost up a lot of tourists.
Well, I've got...
And he's already slated Cape news. Town today.
How would you describe the Karoo?
It's also shit. It's just acres and acres and acres, as far as the eye can see, of just nothingness. Probably the best place to bury a body. That's all I could think is a good reason to have the Karoo.
How about Pietermaritzburg?
Oh, no. Make it stop.
All right. Port Elizabeth. You want to go back there? A 14-year-old schoolgirl, horrible story. This was allegedly murdered in cold blood in what appears to be a hit. I mean, a hit on a 14-year-old?
Jeez.
What sort of twisted person are you?
What's it, like a family feud?
Well, the police have said that they responded to a murder scene on Tuesday afternoon in Motherwell, which is obviously a township in PE. The teenager was still dressed in her school uniform and was found lying in the street with a single bullet wound to her head. Mm. Nobody had come forward with information on what might have happened. Police are baffled as to the motive for the girl's killing. There's a strong suspicion the murder is a targeted killing because no valuables were taken by the attackers. Teenager's name is being withheld for security reasons as well as out of fear of victimization. Motherwell Cluster Commander Major General Darby Robbie expressed shock. The callous murder of children not only shocks our communities, but even hardened police members who serve in those communities. I mean, this is just horrible, right? Mm. Horrible. A little girl, 14 years old? Mm.
Sure.
Oh, well, okay. While we're in PE, we're really laying it out thick. You know that Nigerian pastor, Timothy Omotoso?
Yes. He was in the news a couple of months ago.
Yes, well.
But is he the one who brings people back to life?
He is the...
He's
the one who's alleged to have lured girls into his Dominion International Church.
Yes.
21 complainants say Omotoso sexually groomed and raped them. But his lawyer, Pete Doberman, wants to know exactly when and where these incidents took place. The NPA says it's handed over all information and plans to oppose the application which he has made... because they say it's a delaying tactic, but he wants the prosecuting team to provide more information. Judge Irma Schumann is presiding over a new trial after the judge in the previous one recused himself over a perceived conflict of interest related to the accommodation of witnesses at his wife's guest house. But this pastor, he's got all these supporters, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sit in the back row in the church, in the courtroom. And when he walks in, they're like, oh, Father, we love you. We respect. We are with you. We're here to support you. You can just see that these are exactly the kind of people who would drink petrol and eat grass for their pastor.
Like, he's the guy who made the girls drink milk from him and called yes. it holy milk.
Yes, correct.
Milk real from creep. Him?
Yes. Well, he didn't. He hasn't milk, got. But he can't make milk, Sia, but yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, you know what he said.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I'm thinking. No, I don't know if I'm thinking the right things. I'll just keep going. Just move on.
I'm thinking what you're thinking.
I don't know if I'm thinking what we think.
He's a creep. Men cannot produce milk Sorry. From their titties, so what do you think they can produce?
Leanne, like, yes, Leanne and I are looking at each other.
We really have to spell it out.
Okay, let's play charades. Three syllables.
No, stop.
First one.
Two syllables. Semen. Oh, right, there we go. All right. In Pretoria.
Sorry, it's not funny. It isn't funny.
News has been released that we have resumed beef exports to China. Well, this is probably a good thing. Because we had to stop. There was an outbreak of highly contagious foot and mouth disease in January, and that halted trade. But now the Chinese have said, okay, you filthy South Africans, you can send us your cloven-hooved animals again. A ban on exports of products from cloven-hooved animals to China was officially lifted on the 23rd of July. Chinese Ambassador Lin Songtian said during a briefing. So we were able to at least start trading beef.
So we're carrying all the damage and the farts and the environmental issues for China.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
You think we get to dictate to China? Thought we'd covered this ground in the 90s. Okay. There's some news for you.
But back to
I don't have anything more kind of upbeat.
Back to the pastor trial. You know, yes. I've heard from a couple of lawyers that it is quite an obvious delaying tactic that they use to stick on something that needs a lot of detail so that when the other side gets just one tiny detail wrong, they can harp on around that.
And, they can
it's
say,
a little frustrating.
Oh, yeah. You see, they don't really know what happened and therefore it's all very sketchy. See, in a criminal trial like this, there are two standards for proof. In a criminal trial, the standard is beyond a reasonable doubt. So if you can just create reasonable doubt in the judge, and you basically have to be acquitted. In a civil trial, which doesn't involve the state, it's me versus you or you versus me or a company versus a company, there's just a balance of probabilities, which means 50-50. So in that situation, you just have to prove more than the other side. But in criminal trials, they want more, so you have to give the burden of proof for a criminal trial is obviously beyond a reasonable doubt. All right, lots of interesting stuff in the news coming up in a little while. We're going to have some said by Sia is important today because we're trying to lift the mood.
Oh. Give us something, Sia.
No pressure.
I promise you, I will not watch the TV news tonight, and I will be in a much better mood tomorrow.
Yeah, let's leave it alone for a bit.
We'll have much more exciting and fun and optimistic stuff to talk about, and we'll just ignore the stories that make us miserable. A couple of people who just want to know, where is Gordon Laws? It's Wednesday, says Carl. Yeah, Gord's he's being unreliable today, but we'll get him back next week. Don't panic.
He was working up until 1 a.m., according to his text.
He always says that. I don't believe it.
What do you think he's doing up until 1 a.m.?
I think he went out and got drunk. Riet says, didn't we just listen to a psychiatrist yesterday? Golf and farm more weed. Mess with even more people's chemical imbalances. Grow a generation of bipolar schizos. Well,
that's if you have weed in your teenage years.
Yeah, it can help some people, Riet. Don't be so closed-minded.
It's during the developmental phase that it's detrimental.
Yes. Good morning, guys. It was so great hearing from Flax last week. Mind-blowing to see he's matured so much. Well, if you like Flax, we'll try and get him back again. But thanks for that. And that message comes from Simba, who's obviously in San Diego. We've spoken to him a couple of times. All right, very nice. Let's get to Said by Sia. Sia, this is massively important for us this morning. Raise the spirit of all those people who need a lift today. Take it away.
Oh, okay. Let's get into it. Well, this is something that happened yesterday, and I guess in the midst of it all, we missed out on it. But we had 45 firefighters come back into the country after spending more than 30 days fighting fires in Canada and helping out there. So talk about being selfless. So kudos to these firefighters. They were a team that were deployed to assist in combating a fire in Canada that burned more than 350,000 1,000 hectares since May of this year. And they were following a request that was made by the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center. Someone who commented on all of this in an official statement said, "What is most heartening to hear is that because of your efforts," this is to the firefighters, "the boundary line remained unbreached by the fire. You stood with 1,180 firefighters from all over Canada, Mexico, and the United States."
Wow.
Yeah. So the team left South Africa back in June to assist the province of Alberta to combat these wildland fires. And listen to this. The situation was so severe that evacuation was effected in high level and surrounding areas. 7 homes were lost in the fire, and fortunately, thanks to the efforts of all of these men and women, there were no losses of life. So the South African Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries actually has an understanding with the Canadian Department of Natural Resources in terms of, I didn't know this actually, if we ever get into this dire situation, we have a standing agreement with Canada that they, okay, of all people, will come and help us. So vice versa. When Canada was in trouble, they asked for some of our firefighters and we went over there. Nice. This is actually the third successful deployment between Canada and South Africa. And so far, all have been very, very successful. So kudos to all 45 of our South African firefighters who went over to Canada to help. It's really cool.
Our firefighters.
Firefighters.
Oh.
Firefighters.
All right, that's very good. Yeah. I like that we can rely on Canada and they can rely on us to help each other out if we have fires.
Imagine.
It's a bit of a far way to go. I mean, like a fire doesn't take long to get going, right?
No, but they were there for more than 30 days. Imagine like dealing with something like this for 40, for over 30 days.
What I'm saying is like the flight to Canada. Everything might have burnt by the time they eventually get there. Like, couldn't we get an agreement like that with someone who's a bit closer?
Botswana.
Yeah.
Lesotho.
Am I being facetious?
I wonder how it came to be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Somebody knew somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Listen, we'll take...
help.
When your house is burning down, you'll take help from whoever you can get it from, right?
Yeah. Like that Yvonne Chaka Chaka music video.
I'm burning up.
There we go.
I'm burning up.
Uh-huh.
My heart's on fire.
Uh-huh.
I'm burning up.
Yes.
What a great song. I love that song. We had Machaka in here that... when was it? A couple of weeks ago? Months ago.
We need to get her back, actually.
I love her. She's such a great human
being. I'll embarrass myself in front of her.
All right. So, lots of good stuff still to come.
Mm-hmm.
It will be good stuff.
Yeah. We've got lots of funny things. I just needed to, we needed to download all that negativity from the news is just so bad.
It was business up front and now it's party at the back.
Correct.
Well, because I woke up and went onto social media and saw that the American debates are trending.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems to me as well, a lot of people want to comment on things that they don't necessarily know all about. I will front and center admit when I'm not all well versed in something and rather just keep quiet. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say a lot. But seeing what people are commenting about the debates, it's like, oh, well, she looks so stupid. Did you see what she's wearing? I'm like, that shouldn't be the focus of any sort of debate. And let alone if that's your criteria for president, then I think that's, you have a bigger problem.
Are they
problem,
criticizing
actually.
Bernie Sanders again for his outfit? I mean, that's just so, and calling him she, that is so unfair. Poor Bernie.
I am not wearing a dress. I'm 79,000 years old. I am not wearing a dress. I'm wearing pants. Can't you see? They're just floppy pants because my ass is saggy. Nothing wrong with my outfit.
Well, it was the Democratic debates, and they just finished a little while ago, and they're like 40,000 of them, right?
Yes.
I don't even know. I think I only know like 3 candidates who are running right now. Everyone else I just don't even care about.
Well, look at that, Sia. You're not very inspired by the options on the table. Mm. All right. So, ladies and gents, we've got a very busy morning for you. Let me just quickly remind you, in case you don't already know about the Healthy Business Show.
Mm-hmm.
This is for those struggling, hardworking entrepreneurs out there who want to know how to run a business. And there are people who get it right in South Africa, despite the economy. Some people who are making money. We got to learn how. We got to listen to to these people, figure out what they know that we don't. And basically, you can get all this info in a very easy-to-use audio format that you can listen to while you're busy with other stuff.
Yeah, because it's one thing having an idea, a good idea of a new business.
Right.
But to actually run it.
That's it. Much too
hard. It takes a completely different mind to
yours.
Very
tough.
Yeah.
But did you know that there are 5 new viruses or pieces of malware that are set loose on the internet every second of the day? Yes.
It's a dirty, dirty place.
Small businesses are especially vulnerable to cybercrime. In the latest episode of the Healthy Business Show, Fred finds out about black hat hackers and white hat hackers.
Okay, say the two of them together fast.
Black hat hackers and white hat hackers.
Oh! <Very
good. laughs>
What are they and what do they do? Well, cyber attacks come at a price. The average value of one cyber attack for small businesses is about R1 million, and it shoots up to about R16 million for bigger organizations. Listen and learn how to protect your business. Get the podcasts of The Healthy Business Show. It's now on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen. You know, you might listen on Spotify. You might listen on Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get them, it's brought to you by Discovery Business Insure. And cliffcentral.com can host them for you too. So.
Man, it sounds like we're tooting our own horn here, but toot. This is really an amazing series.
Toot.
This is a real great series. Every single episode has just hit a mark on something practical that you can take away from it.
I mean, I didn't know about white hat hackers. Did you?
No. I've heard of orange hat. I'm joking.
You guys are being so racist as well, you know?
Is it is it one of those things?
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Is it not politically correct?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. Very good. Lots of good stuff still to come. And quick message before we go into the next hour. It's Gordon's birthday today. I know because it's also mine. Also, did you see Jesus was deported from Kenya? Okay. 2 things. First of all, check if it actually is Gordon's birthday.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook right now.
Because, I mean, we're such bad friends. I wouldn't know.
Tomorrow is his birthday. Okay, tomorrow.
Whew, you get that like hot flush and then everything subsides.
And let's delete this version of this portion of the podcast. Mm. We totally need that.
Doesn't need to hear it.
Yeah, we need that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Should I message him now and say, good morning. Oh, we'll just have to celebrate your birthday.
Yes. Make him think we
Okay.
That's a good move. And nobody tell, all right?
No.
I don't want anybody spoiling
this. What
are
we going to do with this cake we got, Gordon?
Yes. Let's start that podcast again. So, Gugu, when you edit this, just start here, right? We were so hoping to see Gord this morning, Leanne.
I know. I brought him a present and everything.
I brought him 3 cakes and a telescope.
The strippers have arrived.
Oh.
Tell them to go home.
I have to send them away.
Goodbye, strippers.
Is that bag of weed for Gord?
Oh, wow. We had so much planned for him today. What a pity he didn't make it in.
Oh.
Damn, these new Dacha cookies smell so good.
I think we've covered a lot of things that he likes.
Yes.
Mm. What a pity he isn't here to share in them with us. Oh, well.
Maybe another time.
What should we do now? We were going to celebrate Gord's birthday for tomorrow, right now. Now we have nothing to do.
It's a bummer.
Mm. What a depressing way to start the morning.
We'll just have to wait.
All right, Gord. Well, maybe you can come in next week and we can celebrate your birthday a week later. Huh?
No, it'll be too late. We'll have to leave it.
Leave
it until next year.
It's not a good morning after all.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.